I ask board members to take their seats. We have to proceed. It looks like there are lots of interesting conversations going on around the room, but we can't take any more time for this. We're going to launch into the treasurer's report. This is my grandson's hammer, and he reminds me on a regular basis that he's loaned it to me for my meetings. He doesn't exactly know what I do with it in the meetings, but he says, Grandma, I gave that to you for your meetings. I said, yes. Okay. All right. Barbara's going to launch into a treasurer's report. Thank you, Andrew. Goodbye.
Passing out a stack this way, and I think there's not a lot of extras of this one. There is a report that there will be some for the audience, oh, which is apparently
hold on.
Existing.
No, that's all right. Take this thing.
All right.
It makes bad marks on the paper.
Oh, really?
Okay.
All right. There are three different things I'm going to hand out to you today. And this seven-page thing is the first one. The first six pages are... This is a shortened version, I hate to say, because Andrea Turner wanted to see the whole chart of accounts. She's been bugging me. So, no, it is useful to look at this sometimes without money attached to it, just so you have an idea about the different items that are paid under different headings and so on. And really, there's a 27-page version of this that has some accounts in it that we never really look at very much when we look at our financial statements. And you don't, for instance, except when we get a balance sheet, look at the assets and the liabilities. They are relevant, but the ones that we use the most are the income and the expenses. So that's what these first six pages are. Now, there's a little notation, the letter A, on the very left of all these numbers. And those are notes to show you the accounts that KPFA uses. In other words, this list has got a lot of stuff in it that is more relevant maybe to other stations. And when the national office puts out an income and expense statement or profit and loss, or it's actually referred to usually as an income statement. It's not only about income, it's about expenses. If they come from the national office, the column that has these four-digit account numbers in it, it's very confusing because it uses numbers that are used by all the stations. In other words, Efren will put out a statement that says from this number through two or three digits down that number, then he's got the line item with the words. So this is one of the reasons I've been resistant when Andrea Turner has asked for this, because there are so many versions, and if people have any questions about this and want more information, just let me know. But after you look through these six pages and go to the seventh single-sided page, this is the extended chart of accounts that I've told you about a couple of meetings that the IT contractor that people have been wanting to understand more about how his bills are, you know, listed in our accounts. And he and Maria worked together to take the most common or all of the four-digit accounts that he uses or has any impact on and break them down to show the variety of things that are lodged against each of these accounts. Now, the first account, the 1330, is from the balance sheet, and that's not going to be in this list of accounts because I didn't give you all those. But that is where a lot of capital expenses are involved. So they've made these little extended numbers that now the billings that are going to be lodged against 1330 and 6698 and 6504, 6665 are all the bills that are going to be lodged against those four digits are actually going to be have a notation on them, and in fact they're going to go back for the bills that have already been paid this fiscal year and note which of these little small account numbers they should be under. In other words, an invoice can be paid and have three different types of coverage, you know, things that it's covering. So there's some, you know, acronyms here, which I've got the translations for, and if anybody wants to make notes, I'll just run through them really quick. VOIP, and maybe some of you know this, is voice over internet provider. And you can see under 1330, there's local and long distance. And by the way, the R's that are to the left of these accounts are the ones that are used by Roblay Systems, which is Roger Marquis, who came to talk to you some time ago. So that explains the VOIP. The VOIP other, where Roger's firm might be involved, is for installations of these capital items. The point 10 digital ISDN is a bill that's paid that AT&T has services that will be paid with that notation for that account. POTS means plain old telephone service. And this is going to be fading away because, as you've all heard for some time, there's a change underway in the telephone system, which we are eventually going to be able to have better service and save money. But I've been told that there's going to be some still plain old telephone service, at least one line or something, that Michael Yoshida is going to save for, I'm not sure, posterity or emergencies or whatever. Point 20 is for data, and it's to connect to the internet. Point 4, let's see, that's pretty explanatory. Point 5 is more of the telephone stuff. Now, let's go to 6698. Colo charges is co-location. Now, there's some, that term, I don't have definitive descriptions of all these accounts, you know, more of what is actually being paid there, but if you're interested, we can find out. However, the colo term comes up again under 6504. So I don't have any description for the one under 6698. I'm not quite sure what co-location thing is charged there. The next point two under 6698 This is where there is an employee on the staff who works on the desktop computers and repairs and so on, and that's Antonio, maybe even more people. The 0.25 administrative services server, the systems administration and server, is worked on by Roger and his firm. Let's see. I've got looking at different sheets here. I don't want to get lost. In fact, that is the main account where most of his bills will be lodged. This business of 0.3, software and licenses, are from outside. I don't know quite what that note meant when we were talking. 35 is kind of explanatory, self-explanatory. It actually should include SSL registration, a domain and SSL certificates or registration. And his company might be involved in this, but as I said, the one with the asterisks is where most of his charges are going to appear. 0.4, it's pretty explanatory, software. Let's see, where else do I have? Let's go to 6504. The 10 under that is internet in, both wireless and wired. Now, when we get to 20, co-location, I can tell you a little more about that. LMI is a company that is in Berkeley, up on Martin Luther King in Virginia. It's been there for 20 years. And they house one or more of our servers. And we pay $125 a month for power, air, security, and Ethernet. And then 0.25 is location, co-location bandwidth. And that's also a service with LMI. And that cost varies by use because that is for streaming and archiving. 0.30 covers such things as Google being used for email. Anyway, those are the specifics I have, little additional things about the chart here that we're using. So this is just a report, an update for you on the way that information technology expenses are being monitored now. And this is actually in response to questions that have been raised, but also as part of the planning for our budgeting for this coming year. It was clear a number of months ago that we needed more specific way to have things posted in a consistent manner so that the same service wouldn't be in one of these four-digit codes sometimes and in another one another time, because people would say, well, most of the bill is for this. And so they've made a definitive list now. In fact, they may edit it and add to it. But this is a very good working document that will help us track this kind of expense further.
Janet has a question.
Okay. Question.
It's on now, Janet.
It's on? Okay. Thank you, Barbara, for this is a really good start. So a couple of comments. One is that I don't see any amounts associated.
That's right. This is not, they haven't been distributed yet. Just the chart of accounts has been built.
Right. Okay. And another thing I would like to see is, well, I think about taking my car in for repair, and so you have the total bill, but that bill includes the, or breakdown, labor and parts. And so one of the things I wanted to see, or maybe it is in these part of these categories, the amount that goes to Roger's contractor labor, quote, as mm-hmm. opposed to the different services, service fees. So, I mean, you go to a mechanic and they get a part from company X. Well, you can get the same part from someplace else, but for a different price, but you still need that part. But the labor can vary for fixing it. So that's the kind of thing that I'm curious about.
Well, I noted that there were little R's to the left of all of these. Those are the areas where his work is involved. He would be billing for services related to these different items. And there is the one that is used the most with the asterisks there. But wherever he bills us, it is for his services on those particular line items. Andrea?
Do we have a bidding process? Because that way, like if you get three bids, you take the lowest bid and you still, to save money. Is there? That's all I...
I'm not sure how the contract was originally set up with him, but I know that this contractor works with and reports to the chief engineer.
Okay.
And I wasn't around when it was originally,
right.
You know, it isn't something that goes out for bid every quarter or year.
But I was thinking specifically in terms of parts. When you said parts, that you know, with the city, you have to go out and get like three bids or whatever to show.
I do know this:
that you're cost effective.
That when Roger is in the office and talking about ordering things, he seems to have an inside track on how to do things cheaply. And he really does express a dedication to saving KPFA money. So that's, just an anecdotal, but that's what I've heard many times. Okay, Janet?
Bidding would be interesting to explore, but you don't only necessarily bid on parts; you can bid on labor too. So that's how frequently is the contract up, or you know, what is the length of the contract?
I don't know. I'm writing your questions down.
I just want to say thank you so much for getting the chart of accounts for me.
You're happy, even though it's not every account that we could dream up?
Well, yeah, right.
Okay.
But gives us something to work with when we're
sure.
looking at the budget.
Right. Right. Okay, now I have a one-page document to pass out. Oh, sorry, yes.
I'm going to try to understand. The two-digit codes on page seven here, these are newly developed, is that correct?
That's right. If you were at the LSB meeting when Jan Etri reported on the crafts fair,
right.
where in order to better explain that activity, she and Maria made these new, separate extra account numbers that will be used as they analyze the activity.
Right.
But in fact, it still just shows up with the main four-digit account code in our profit and loss statements. But these breakdowns will be available. And
prospectively, is that correct?
Yes.
We're not going to go back and recode all
He's going to, I hope so. I think there'll be time. They're expecting to do that, to recode the bills that have already been paid and show how they would be divided among these extended chart of accounts.
For the current fiscal year or before that too?
I'm hoping they'll do it for this fiscal year. That's the best way for it to be useful for us to budget for next year, that they actually apply them to this year.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anybody else? Okay. All right, here's document number 2. Now, this is about the extraordinary, I think it's extraordinary, and so does the business manager, requests or demands for money from KPFA. Pacifica is demanding it from KPFA. Here is some basic facts about all of the fiscal year that ended in September 2010 and the fiscal year that ended in September 2011 and the first 7 months of this fiscal year. And it lists payments or credits that we received in this major column on the left. And that is under central services. Then we have bill backs. Central services are, as you know, calculated on listener support. That's one of the numbers in your chart of accounts. I think it's 5,000, the first revenue account. So the percentages are based on that figure, and we are told, at certain times, or it can be calculated by our business manager too, what we owe. And so in the year 2010, altogether, the central services accrual was $465,146. And we paid $271,39. So for that fiscal year, just looking at central services, not bill backs, we had $194,107 that was not paid, carried over. And then in bill backs, we were given charges of $57,918. We had credits, payments and credits of over $6,000. So we ended up with needing to still pay $51,836. So if you add those two together, central services and bill backs, at the end of the fiscal year 2010, we owed $245,943. Now, under bill backs, where in smaller print it says details of payments and or credits, this whole $6,082 was made up of line of credit interest and fees. In other words, Pacifica had taken $100,000 CD from KPFA's to secure a $100,000 line of credit. And they held that, they had it as a debt in full, the whole $100,000, for 2 or 3 years. And we were paying interest on that loan. But we were given credit as though it were a payment towards bill backs. And also, each year, that line of credit had to be renewed. I think it was in August, and there was a larger fee. The monthly interest was about $360 usually, and the fees, I think, were from $1,000 to $15, $1,000 to $1,500 at the time that the loan was renewed. So KPFA was paying these, but the national office was giving us credit towards bill backs. That phenomenon continued into the next year. You'll see LOC interest, but in fact, it was about August of that year that the national office just took the CD and paid off the loan and gave us credit, not money, but credit, in this interstation account. So we got $100,000 credit for our CD, which we had then, we were not able to use, but we got credit. Now, the credit in this interstation account, Maria's been tracking very carefully since she got there. But in fact, this interstation account is one at the national office which is not fully reconciled. And it has huge numbers in it from long time ago. And Maria has made some attempts, valiant attempts, to go through the records and try to figure these out. So when you're when you make an entry in accounting and you discover that there's an error, you don't just go back and erase it and fix the total. You have to make a corresponding entry that takes it out. So in other words, if you put in $800,000 and you say, oh, whoops, I got the wrong number, wrong account, then you have to put in minus $800,000. And if you put in $800,000 and it really should have been broken down in three different ways, then you might be taking it out as $200,300. And when you look at the records of this, you're looking for an explanation as to what these items were. And the explanations that are in the records are, they don't tell us anything that you can use. It will say payment for, and then the sentence drops off. Correction of, and you don't get the rest. And these are things that there must be files with actual pieces of paper, I'm sure, somewhere, that record what these things were. But in fact, there are so many errors made currently in the way these records are handled because they are very understaffed in the national office. And it's impossible to rely on this running total that the national office tells us we owe, or we, you know, basically that's the one we need to be worried about, is what they say we owe. So we can pin down 2010, just looking at the money that we, the central services we should have paid and the bill backs we should have paid and what we did pay and how much we ended up paying. But in fact, the totals from the years before are unreliable. The next year, in 2011, you'll see that we overpaid in central services. And that was by a combination of payments and credits. Now, if you look under 2011 here, we've got $598,380 in credits. And so in October, there was a payment. In November, CPB money came in. And what happens with that is the national office keeps it and then gives us credit. So that goes as a credit towards our central service obligation. So then we had a couple more payments. Then we had another CPB credit. And then there was a bequest that got used by Pacifica, which was a KPFA bequest that had been bequested to the station. And
we get credit?
We get credit. We got no money, but we got credit. And then there was a payment in July, and you'll see in August the line of credit was dissolved, and we got credit for the $100,000 that was our CD that had been taken to pay that. And then there was some sort of stock contribution to KPFA in September, $9,000. As I said, under the bill back column, for the few months that the number of months that the line of credit was still in effect, we pay $3,900 in interest and fees. So we did not fully pay in that year the amount of billbacks that we were told were ours, but we way overpaid in the central services category. So together, we overpaid, if you put those two sums together, we overpaid in 2011 $60,325. Now, in this year, we received credit in November for CPB money. In December, there was another $100,000 bequest that was taken by the national office, and KPFA was given credit for it. In January, we were asked to pay the WBAI payroll, and that shows up in the billbacks column. That was originally going to be a loan, but it became clear that WBAI was not going to be able to repay the loan, so then it became money that KPFA put out, actual money, and it became a credit to us in this, in the billbacks record keeping. And then in March, we paid, that was the central services fee amount calculated on the February fund drive, and we paid cash to the national office there. Then in April, and this is why recently the business manager became very alarmed, and so did I. And I recently shared these last three payments I'm going to just comment about briefly with our chair and our vice chair, because we felt this is getting dangerously close to emptying too much of our bank account. But we were asked to, not asked, it's required, I guess, is the best way to say it. She's got a late, well, she just got the month and the year. But in the beginning of the, near the beginning of the month, we paid $60,000. Mid-month, we paid $40,000. And we were just recently asked to pay $15,000. Actually, it shows that we got $15,500 in credit here. That's because we were given a $500 fee for having loaned it's not a loan. We're not going to see this again. Given $15,000 toward WBA payroll. And in fact, the other payroll in January was $47,754, and for that, we were given an extra $1,000 credit. So now I should tell you also that currently our bank balance, oh my God, where is it? It's scary. It's very scary. It is lower than it's ever been. It was $44,000 in April 30th. Why did I lose that? And we had $39,000 worth of bills. And we have never been that close, possibly except the one time that I know about where we actually had to borrow one-fifth of the amount of our payroll, which we paid back with interest and within a month. Here it is. So on April 30th, we had $44,365 in the bank, and we had $38,996 worth of bills to be paid. Of course, we have the fund drive now, and we do have the stability of donors who give automatically every month. But The biggest problem with the buildbacks is that we are not given documentation for these things. There are, and that's another problem with the records of this interstation account going back, is the lack of documentation. And there are many times, there's actually a legal bill that we paid recently. It was over $15,000, but that was because we were given the bill itself. And so it doesn't show up in this sheet that I've just given you, where we get credit for things, or we're, yes, is this too many numbers?
No, it was because we were given a bill and we paid it.
Yeah.
So it's not part of this exchange.
No, but I'm saying, yeah, right.
It's not our bill.
Yeah,
oh, yes,
bill.
It was our bill.
Yeah,
it was our bill. And it's questionable, some of the bills that are we are told about and they're put in totals, they show up in the general ledger. And if we don't examine them, we don't know if the bill is ours or if only part of the bill is ours, because it does happen that mistakes are made. When I first became treasurer, we did get a couple notices about bills, and Maria could look at it and say, well, this case isn't ours, and that case isn't ours.
You mean that lawyer's bills.
Yeah, lawyer's bills, right. So I have another thing to hand out here, but if anybody wants to talk about this, let's go here.
I want to ask, I think these dates...
That's just the year.
It's not the year. It should be 12, not 11.
Yes, she's right. It's
okay.
True. It's
all right.
True.
So at the bottom
of... November and December 11.
Yeah, at the bottom of the column, March 11 should be March 12, and April 11 should be April 12.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side of the page, it's, let's say, January
12
and April 12.
You're okay. Right. Sorry.
That's okay. I was just confused.
These things were gotten together...
It's all right. It doesn't matter.
...quickly. And
it's fine.
Yeah. Okay, Donald?
Can you give me a sum total of how much Pacifica has taken above and beyond what should be our normal, quote, dues or whatever you want to call it, central services or whatever, in this last 2 years, 2011, well, through these 2.5 years, so that we understand that maybe we're not in a financial crisis at KPFA, but that the financial crisis is at Pacifica?
Well, the very bottom line has some totals there.
Good. Maybe
Donald.
You can walk us through that,
and,
Barbara.
So the, let's see, it's 1,000. I guess the totals do. The 1,152,757 plus the 172,826, I believe that is what is the 1,325,593, 30 months worth of what they, some of these are calculations we know there's no dispute, but others are things that appear in the general ledger. So if we add those together, they say we owe all of this. That's what that is. And then the other side is the payments that we've made. In other words, 1,244,132 plus 74,279 is 1,318,411. So we are nearly paid up. It looks as though we owe $7,183, but there's still all this question about which of these bills really are ours, and which amounts are ours, and what and the national office relies heavily on these very old figures of saying when I first started as treasurer, we got a statement of the 1290 account that said we owed $500,000, and that was from a long time back. And the next time I saw the statement, it was $200,000, and we couldn't figure out what was making it go up and down. And it's gone up again and down again. And so Maria has tried to pin it down from a certain time so that we can isolate where all these unknowns are.
So just so I can close. I'm not through with the question here. I'm trying to understand.
Okay. Let him go on.
Okay.
So what you're saying is that you don't have, or they don't have, an accounting system and a ledger system that allows us to know here at KPFA what our normal dues or requirements are to pay as our part of Pacifica, and then what they're taking above and beyond it.
Well, we do know what our normal dues are, I mean, as far as calculating on listener income, listener, you know, support that comes in. That's what the percentages are figured on. But the things that are not documented well enough are the other things, the bill backs. Okay.
Let's do this. Let's have a speaker's list.
Okay.
And let me do the speaker's list. Okay. So I saw Tracy. Okay. Tracy, Sasha, Anthony, and Andrea. Okay. Let's do this. Barbara, do you have another document to give us?
I do, and it's the latest profit and loss statement that the National Office issued, and it goes through March. I haven't actually reviewed it a lot, and I think I'll hand it out, and we can.
Okay, let's hand.
You can all look at it and bring your questions next time.
If we're going to stay anywhere close to the times on our agenda, we need to try and wrap this discussion up by 1:45, so everybody who's on the list gets 3 minutes, but just keep that in mind when you're talking. Okay, so Tracy, go.
Every year the LSB looks at budgets, and those budgets almost always tell you your total amount of central services is approximately $500,000, $450,000 to the national office, and about $50,000 to the archives. This form is exactly consistent with that CS accrual of $465,000 in 2010, $442,000 in 2011, and at 2012 it seems you have...
Yeah, really?
Aw, okay. Then I need to start at the beginning again, so reset the clock. I'm trying to get stuff in it for you.
Just go from here and talk slower.
Guys, if you want me to speak at the speed of molasses, you have to add more time. Your central services are approximately $500,000 a year, $450,000 to the central office and $50,000 to the archives. If you take a look, that's exactly what you've been billed. 2010, $465,000. 2011, $442,000. 2012, you appear to have more listener support because at halfway through the year, you're at $245,000, suggesting you may get as high as $500,000. We'll see how things go. That adds up to $1.15 million. That's correct. In addition, you have billbacks. Billbacks are for your legal fees. We've discussed many times the six-figure that extra charges were being accrued by having to go to the National Labor Relations Board 5 times for charges that were dismissed and having to go through a union arbitration. Those things cost money. That's the majority of your $172,000 in billbacks. When people say the legal fees cost KPFA money, that's what they mean. The legal fees cost KPFA money. That's the brunt of your billbacks in 2011. Legal fees cost money. In addition, you've got the Mania case, and that is also a KPFA legal. The Esther Mania lawsuit, which is also a legal case unless and until it gets carried over to insurance, and you run up a certain amount of fees before it goes over to insurance. So those are your costs that are being billed back. I'm glad to see that KPFA has paid back the $245,000 deficit from 2010, and it looks like we're about even at $71.83, which is good. And the fund drive seems to be going gangbusters at $98,000 in 3 days. So that's really exciting. That's it.
Thank you. Sasha, followed by Anthony.
Yes. I have a resolution I would like to introduce because this was shared about with our by our treasurer with to both the chair and myself. And so I wrote up a resolution, which I would like to introduce and then motivate if it gets seconded. So this deals with the large payments we seem to be suddenly required to make to the Pacifica National Office, kind of continuing a pattern, but a whole number of them in April. So it reads as follows. Whereas KPFA recently has been required to transfer large sums of money to the national office to cover expenses of other stations or for other network expenses, and whereas this threatens the ability of KPFA to meet its own financial obligations, including not only current expenses, but also the prospect of accumulating needed reserves. Therefore, the KPFA LSB resolves to direct the IGM to refuse approval for further payments, such as those made in April 2012, of $60,000 on April 6th, $40,000 on April 16th, and $15,000 on April 27th, until such time as a sum is legitimately due to cover only KPFA's central services obligations.
Okay. All right, so the motion's on the floor, and I guess the appropriate thing now is we go to discussion of the motion.
Can she get to
motivate? Yes, she gets to motivate it.
So I'll be fairly brief with that. I just want to say that it seems to me that KPFA is being looked at quite a bit starting, you know, about a year or so ago to pay a lot of Pacifica's bills or other stations. Mm-hmm. Bills that are getting passed on to us, and that we are on obviously rather marginal financial grounds, and that we need to protect our own resources at this point. So that's my motivation.
Okay, thank you. All right, so the motion is before you, speakers. Henry, followed by Sharam.
Couple of things. One is that I didn't quite follow the explanation of these two items in the right column that are listed as WBAI. Other than that, it appears to me that if I'm understanding this, and it's challenging, but it appears to me that what's happening is that we're gradually paying down the money that we were supposed to pay and didn't in 2010, and that we have now basically, except for the $7,183, eliminated that. I guess now we've overpaid by $7,183. Is that correct? But basically, no. Okay, that's still outstanding. Anyway, we're close to balance to where we're supposed to be. So if that's the case, I'm not sure I understand what the problem is, or why I understand why you're alarmed about the state of our balance sheet, but I don't understand why anything here is alarming. Except, again, I'm not understanding the BAI part, but other than that.
Well, I'll answer the WBAI part. Those represent actual payments of money that went out of our bank account to the national office for the purpose of WBAI's payrolls. And And actually the amount that we paid is 15,000, but we got credit for an extra 500, and the other figure was 47,700 and whatever, but we got credit of an extra $1,000. That's how those sums got there.
Can I do a quick follow-up?
Okay.
Just on those, those sums, though, are our outstanding debt for past central services were reduced by those amounts. Is that correct? In other words, that was money we owed already.
If you look at the whole thing of what we owed, yes. And I'd like to say about that, there is no question about what we owe for central services. That's clearly, you can follow it. You know, we know how much listener support we had. We know if we multiply it times 19.5%, we know what is due. But what is not clear is the bill backs that appear on our general ledger without explanation to us and may not be ours entirely.
Okay. So,
and we have a lot of evidence that that's could be the case.
Okay. This, I don't think this mic is on. Am I wrong?
It's okay. All right. Okay, so I have Sharam followed by Donald.
Okay.
Anthony, Jack.
Harry asked one of the questions that I had, and thank you for the response. So, Barbara, when you say billbacks means this is stuff from back from 2010?
No. Billbacks mean a bill that the Pacifica National Office gets and
right.
pays and then bills it back to
okay.
us.
Okay, so
it doesn't mean back in history,
right.
although that is the other way I'm using back in history as far as
okay.
Undocumented expenses that we've
so,
been charged.
So we are facing undocumented expenses in this year or 2011?
Every year.
Okay. So some of this stuff, I mean, I have a problem with the motion that Sasha put forward because some of these are our obligations to pay for instance, legal fees, right? I mean, on the bill backs.
Bill backs are probably mostly
legal fees. Legal fees. Mm-hmm. So does the motion take into account that we are obligated, in addition to the central services, that we have debt obligations because of our legal expenses, or we expect other stations to carry our legal expenses? So that's kind of unclear in your motion. Sasha, maybe you want to reconsider that. The other thing is, you know, this practice, I mean, this nationalist outcry, if you will, localism. I mean, it's like KPFA versus the rest of Pacifica. Well, I mean, I'm just, you know, okay. So my point is, as you mentioned correctly, you know, all of us, to you know, more or less have been in that position, different stations. We have borrowed money from KPFT to pay our payrolls. You know, we pay them back. WBI is a different animal. I mean, they have been under financial distress for a long time. But, you know, I mean, we are paying, they're taking money away from us to pay for WBI, but we're getting credits for it. And I don't see, in other words, I don't see where this motion is going with what I'm hearing right now. I just don't understand the purpose of this
well,
motion.
I'll call on you. Mm-hmm. Okay. I got, I have you on the list, Sasha. Donald, followed by Janet.
Followed by Tanya, followed by Tracy.
Okay.
So, what? Here we go. So, to summarize in my newbie's brain here with regard to the finances of local versus national, it sounds like there are a lot of unresolved pieces of paper that nobody can decipher to this point of what KPFA owes Pacifica or what Pacifica owes us, number one. Number two, we're being asked to not have a payment schedule to pay back what we may or may not owe Pacifica, but rather we're being suddenly asked, we need 60 grand this month, we're taking it out. We need 40 grand, we're taking it out. There is no graduated payment schedule over, let's say, 5 years or 6 years. It's like a sudden reach.
It's
for
when
money.
Money comes in the bank and they see it's there.
Uh-huh. So somebody's monitoring our bank account, my God. And they're saying, uh-huh, KPFA has money, WBAI, Sharam just said, has been going broke forever. And we've been paying for some of that for quite a while as well, correct? Or whoever wants to respond to that one. And so here we are. We're now being jeopardized with our own financial viability to bail out a bankrupt station that's been bankrupt for at least 3, maybe 5, 10 years. I don't know. I don't know where the numbers run. And I wonder what the chair of the finance committee of the PNB, who is a member of this local station board, has to say about all that.
Well, she's on the list. Okay. Good. Janet, followed by Anthony. I'm sorry? There are two more people ahead of you. Okay, fine. Janet, go ahead.
Okay, so a lot of this has to do with the whole credit system that we have in our the larger financial thing. Not just Pacifica, but the capitalist system. And so there have been times when KPFA has not paid its, where some other entity like Democracy Now or Central Services was supposed to get paid a certain amount of money, and KPFA did not pay that. And so that meant that Democracy Now! Was out that amount of money for a time, and other things like that. So it just varies which entity owes which entity money and which gets paid at any particular time. But basically, Pacifica, and I'm not saying that this is a great thing, but this is kind of how it works, and or it has worked. And Pacifica, though, is the fiduciary, has the fiduciary responsibility. That's just how it is. Pacifica is the nonprofit, and we are not, KPFA is not a separate nonprofit. And so Pacifica consists of a whole bunch of entities that if KPFA refuses to pay for or let go of some of its money, then maybe another entity would just disappear. And do we want that? Or as part of this family, as part of this Pacifica family, we are just, anyway, I'll stop there.
Okay. Anthony followed by Andrea Pritchett.
Yeah, just to illustrate the point that Janet made, 90 plus, I don't know, maybe 95% or 98% of the time I put in at KPFA is unpaid, but from time to time I get paid to do a holiday newscast. When I get that paycheck, it says Pacifica Foundation on it. It doesn't say KPFA or news department. It says Pacifica Foundation. I assume if I were in Houston or New York or wherever, it would say the same, Pacifica Foundation. It's one entity that we're talking about. Now, my main question, if I'm correct, Sasha's motion was motivated by the statement from the our business manager that a lot of these billbacks are not sufficiently supported. So my question is, how much of a given, say, 6 months most recent billbacks, how much are open to question? For how much is the documentation unclear? For how much is, wait a minute, is that, does this really belong to KPFK and not to KPFA? Or should it be 60% K and 40% A, or what? How much uncertainty is there about the responsibility for these billbacks? How what's the scale of this problem is my question.
Okay, Barbara's on the list. I was going to ask her to speak at the end, but if you
want. Well, I could. The figures here in the billbacks are all undocumented to KPFA. And in history, there's many more. That's why I mentioned the one legal bill that we paid because we were given the bill doesn't show up here. This is something that is put into this interstation account, the stuff that's on this sheet, but we have not received documentation for any of those.
What about the BAI payments?
I'm talking about what the accumulated charges.
Okay. Andrea, followed by Jack. You're coming.
Hello. Excuse me.
Okay.
First of all, I'd like to ask Barbara or anybody else at this table if there are any written protocols, guidelines, policies that structure how and when these kinds of expenses are incurred. And I feel that it's fair to hold Pacifica to some accountable to some written policies, and I would like to see those. However, I think the motion is very ill-advised. And, you know, I think that we live in the San Francisco Bay Area. Yes, we get money. We get more money than Houston. We get more money than other areas. WBAI, I think it's been explained to us many times about the rent problem that they have and various problems. I feel like it's really, like, are we really trying to be, we really don't want to be national? We really want to just exist locally? Is that really what you're saying? And the health of the foundation means the health of a national political consciousness. So I don't really see WBAI as being different than KPFA. I don't see these stations as different. I do feel that we're part of a national movement and a national consciousness. If we have issues with how WBAI's management is going, if we have issues with decisions that they're making, we can make those. But I think that it's very colloquial and very small-minded to say that, oh, our station is our station by God and to hell with everybody else. I think that's wrong. I think if we were being graded or judged on the efficiency of our organization, we might come up a little short at times as well. So I would really ask that rather than open a whole new distracting controversy and issue that's going to take us off, even farther off of the more pressing issues of development, outreach, innovation, can we focus on those things for a while and stop looking and finding more divisive issues that take us off of our real mission?
Okay.
And this notion of theft is the kind of inflammatory language that makes listeners disgusted with us.
Who said that?
Is the kind of thing that's... I'm hearing that? My esteemed colleague here in my ear keeps going, theft, theft, theft.
Oh, well.
And I wish he would stop. But if he's saying it here, I'd be willing to bet that language is out in the community. And it is toxic and it's poisonous. So don't wonder why our donations are down.
Okay. Let me tell you about the speakers list, because I see the people are concerned. Hold on. Jack is next on the list. I'm going to ask Jack, and the person after him is Sasha, so I'm going to ask if he's willing to trade with Sasha, because she's very anxious to contribute to the conversation.
And
the list would go like this. Just listen to me. Sasha, Jack, Tracy, Tanya, Aki, and Frank. That's what I've got on the list. It's already 1:45. We were supposed to be done by now, but I don't like to cut off discussion, as you all know, so let's handle this. Okay, Sasha.
So, yes, I was very brief in my motivation, and I'd like to be a little bit more extensive with that. This is in part a reflection of the announcement by Arlene Engelhart that Pacifica was so broke there would be no elections this year, or that is her request. And as somebody who serves newly on the Pacifica National Board's election committee, I did two things. I listened to the Pacifica board meeting, in which that was brought up at the beginning of the board meeting. And I participated in the election committee, and I understand there's been another special PNB meeting. And what alarms me is that the state of Pacifica's finances, as announced as being very drastic, has yet to be an item of discussion actually on a PNB meeting. So there was a very long, extensive conversation about the problems of the tech committee on the PNB failing to meet quorum that went on quite a bit longer than the discussion on the election postponement. And I have another resolution having to do with that, by the way, later on. But it is a concern for our finances potentially being under attack by this sudden, newfound, 2 weeks ago, lack of resources and severe financial straits that Pacifica itself and its ED reports to be surprised by. I don't happen to be a buyer in the surprise department, but This is what's been said. And we made three payments to cover another station's debts last month, the month that just ended. So it's an attempt to protect us. I also find it very ironic that the folks who scream, local, local, put the community in, whether they can speak on the air or not or are any good or not, put them on the air, local, local, local. They may kill our drive time finances, but hey, that's good. And now they don't want local, local protection of this local station that we are responsible for. We are not responsible for Pacifica. We are responsible for KPFA. So let's keep that in mind, all you community-minded folks across the table from me. Thank you.
Okay, Jack, followed by Tracy.
I think that what we have is another manifestation of the complexity between the parts and the whole. We have a problem. We have an authentic problem between the parts of Pacifica and the whole of Pacifica. So we have to take our responsibility with dealing with our part of the whole, keeping the whole in mind. The fact that a staff person at KPFA gets a check that says Pacifica on it is utterly meaningless, except as a technicality about the way the bureaucracy of the finances work. The reality of it is that KPFA's cash balance is skidding towards zero, and we've got to worry about that. The other part of the reality of it is no matter how the debts that KPFA has to Pacifica were incurred over the past years, we seem to be pretty close in balance now. All right, what do we do about that? Considering that we are in balance now and that we have a cash flow problem, we say, okay, now we have to address our part of the problem. We should be paying what we owe. We should be paying our central services bill. We should be paying whatever legal bills fall onto our plate. But when we are in peril here, we should not be paying more than that. Because if we run out of cash at this station, what happens is that our station is put into peril. The relationship of the parts and the whole. Sometimes the whole takes precedence over the parts. Sometimes the parts take precedence over the whole. Right now, given the circumstances, our part takes precedence over the whole.
Okay. Tracy, followed by Tanya.
Okay. Fiscal year 2010, your central services accrual, that 17% number, was $465,000. KPFA paid $271,000. Actually, you only paid $50,000, but then you received a credit for CPB funds of $220,000, leaving a balance due of $195,000. That's what you owed at the end of the 2010 fiscal year. In 2011, you paid back $160,000 of that, in addition to the $442,000 that you owed. In 2012, you paid back the rest, all but $7,183. You would be a bit ahead of the game, but there were five NLRB complaints, all of which were rejected, each of which cost a certain amount of money. And there was a union arbitration that was unsuccessful, and that also cost money, so you ran up some more bills. You had a fund drive for 3 days, $98,000, I think. So you've already accrued 17% of $100,000. So you owe Pacific approximately $25,000 today. And as the fund drive succeeds, there will be 17% of the listener support pledges that come in. Your money's not being stolen. Your money's being accrued. That's a system. We get 2 hours of programming. You get 2 hours of Democracy Now! Every morning for drive time. You get free speech radio news. You get insurance. You get an audit. You get your CPB money, because if your audit wasn't paid for, there won't be any CPB money. These are simple expenses that radio stations have. Whether they're being paid for by Pacifica or they're being paid for by KPFA, the expenses don't vanish. NLRB complaints cost money. Arbitrations cost money. Audits cost money. Insurance costs money. Programming costs money. Believe me, the Democracy Now! Expenses are high, and that's got to get dealt with. It is a stress on the entire foundation, and it is significant. But all that you're demonstrating here with this piece, with this document, is that KPFA got behind on its central services by $250,000, $195,000 of that having nothing to do with billbacks, which we knew in 2010, and that you have struggled to pay that money back in 2011 and in 2012, and you finally finished.
Okay, Tanya followed by Aki.
Okay. I had a spell of coughing, and so I went outside a little while ago, and while I was outside a little while ago, Andrew was sitting there, and so he and I had a chance to chat, which we not had before, and in the course of the chat, he said, he was asking what was happening at the meeting. I said, we were talking about the treasurer's report, and he said, well, you know, you guys are going to get some pretty shocking news, and he said, as a matter of fact, if they ask me from Pacifica to send any more money, I will have to tell them no. Now, he told me that. I did not hearsay. I wasn't around the corner. These ears heard it. So I'm trying to grasp in all this discussion we are having about what we don't have the authority to do and what we do have the authority to do and the part in the whole and all and all and all. Does he have the right to simply say no the next time they say, shoot this money to us? Does he have the authority to say no? Somebody answer me.
I don't know. No. But in fact...
You say no, Dan?
Okay.
That'll work. I mean, I'm not trying to drag us out here. I'm just trying to get a yes or a no.
He does have the right to express an opinion, and another general manager is expressing an opinion against having money taken from them right now.
Because that's what he said. I just...
Okay. Thank you. Oh, hold on. No. It's not going to work. There's only two people left on the list, okay? Three. Aki, followed by Frank, and then Barbara wants to make a... Yeah. No, we didn't close the debate, but...
It's open until it's,
yeah, but there...
Until everybody's many, spoken twice, or until...
Names, yeah, everybody speaks twice, and we'll, you know how long we'll be here. Aki, hold on. You want to call the question? Okay. Go ahead, Aki.
Well, this is just an addition to what, Sasha is saying. They were concerned about the money going from KPFA to Pacifica. But it seems like a lot of the expenses that Pacifica is incurring is because of defending against the legal bills, that is filed by the KPFA CWA. And considering that all of the, complaints that were filed by the National Labor Relations Board were all dismissed, could we ask them not to keep fighting these so that Pacifica has to incur these legal costs? That will help, well, like I said, they should it's our station, it's our money. So, but they're all part of the workers too. So anyway, just a thought.
Thank you. I'd really appreciate it if people wouldn't speak unless they have the floor. It would really be nice if you all would just be quiet unless you have the floor. The next speaker on the list is Frank. Do you want to be on the list, Andrea?
Well, I would, but I also think it would be helpful to hear the motion again, because we don't have copies of it, and so I'm afraid our conversation may digress from the actual motion.
Okay. Has Sasha, yes, she gave the motion to the secretary. I'll ask him to read it.
Thank you. Okay. Whereas KPFA recently has been required to transfer large sums of money to the national office to cover expenses of other stations or for other network expenses, and whereas this threatens the ability of KPFA to meet its own financial obligations, including not only current expenses, but also the prospect of accumulating needed reserves, the KPFA LSB resolves to direct the interim general manager to refuse approval for further payments, such as those made in April 2012, $60,000 on April 6th, $40,000 on April 16th, and $15,500 on April 27th, until such time as a sum is legitimately due to cover only KPFA's central services obligation.
Thank you. Okay, Frank.
I'm not an expert with budgets and stuff. In fact, it's mostly quite confusing to me. But as far as I understand part of it, it seems like that we owed this money. And I was curious if someone could answer the question that after the whatever the $7,000 whatever is paid off, will they continue to ask for money besides our legal expenses that we're constantly gathering? So I'd like that question answered. Is this money going to keep draining away even after we pay that $7,000 whatever it is? Well, except for some legal expenses where money and the fund drive part, stuff like that. And another part for me is I know that if we're giving money, I guess this is not a loan if they're not paying it back. But in times someone had mentioned that we had to reach out and get money from other stations too. So it's hard for me. I'm still like on the fence here on what exactly to do, because what if we needed to get some money sometime? Would they not give it to us? Would they not? I don't know. So have we not borrowed, you know? And in fact, this is money I thought we owed. And once it's paid back, that's my main question. Will they continue to ask for these big sums of money out of the blue? But once we pay back the $7,000, is that going to continue to happen? Could someone answer that?